And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope you all are having a great night, great day, great evening, whenever you are tuning in, whether it's live or on demand. This is RBLR Bucks. My name is Carter Brantley. I am one of your co-hosts, and we've got an exciting episode today. A lot to talk about. There's the Baker extension. There's the season that's starting. In fact, we're broadcasting during the New England-Seattle opening game. I will not spoil it because I'm a little ahead of Zach Blaine, and I do not want him to be angry with me, so I will keep silent on it. But it has been a fun start to the NFL season, and it is getting started, so we're going to have a little season preview talk as well. But before we get any further, I do have to introduce my wonderful co-hosts, one of which I have already kind of teased. Mr. Zach Blaine, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing good, brother. Glad to be back. Had some family stuff going on. Papaw passed away, but you know, we're here, we're good. Everyone's doing good, man.
Well, we're happy you're with us, my man. We're happy to have you here, and it's the beginning of the NFL season, so you know, we've got some fun stuff to talk about. And hey, your boy, you know, we're gonna have some celebrating to do, because I know you're excited about that, and so we're happy to have you back, my friend. It's never the same without some Zach Blaine in the house. But the guy who held it down in your absence, Mr. Tyler Vasallo, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am hanging in there. We are.
Oh, I believe you got the mute bug, my friend.
I can hear him.
Oh, try again.
Oh,
there he is. Now I can hear him.
Now I'm here.
There you
I'm
are.
Coming off a long weekend. It is
Labor Day weekend.
We're already almost to the weekend again.
I know.
Isn't that nice? Halfway through the week, really, if you think about it.
Yes.
I'm living the life. I'm trying to catch some glimpses of this game. I think you're ahead of me as well. So hopefully you stay nice and quiet over there, Carter.
Oh yeah. This is, you know, week one of the season. It's a marquee matchup, so I don't wanna spoil it. No, but it's a fun game. A little Super Bowl rematch type beat. But I Tyler and I met at the USF game this past weekend where they took down FIU. It was a fun time. It was a great time. I came back Sunday to my AC being broken, so that was not super fun. In September in Florida, not a good time. But luckily the AC guy came by, very nice guy. Shout out to Jason, he repaired it, and knock on wood, it works just fine. But so anyways, we've got some Bucks stuff to talk about. Enough personal nonsense. No one cares about my air conditioner, which is almost 20 years old. Baker Mayfield, he signed an extension, a 2-year deal technically, with the third year tacked on, as I've heard it described, as sort of a team option, but technically it's 3 years, $165 million. What are y'all's initial thoughts? Zach, I know you're super excited. Are you happy they got it done? Did you think that they had to overpay a little bit, or are you kind of like, hey, I actually thought this was a pretty good deal? I personally thought it was a pretty good deal for both sides. Like, I thought
it works out for everybody, and it gets us our guy. We don't have to worry about looking for a quarterback or wasting the franchise tag next season, because the franchise tag on him was going to be so much more.
Yeah, $80 million. Yeah,
it would have equaled out to $80 million. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, bonkers stuff.
So I'm happy with it. I think it gave us exactly what we needed. Now no distractions going into the season. Like, everything is on the up and up. I feel great about it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those deals where the Bucks probably felt like they maybe overpaid a little, and Baker probably felt like he left a little bit on the table. So that probably means it's a pretty good deal. You know, like, it's probably
a happy medium where everyone feels a little something about it. But
right. That's right. If everyone feels a little something about it, that means it was probably fair. So, I was excited to see them get it done. I know John Gruden had talked about it on the preseason broadcast that he thought it was going to get done, but I was like, man, I'm not going to take John Gruden's word as the, you know, set in stone or anything. But hey, you know, maybe he kind of knew what he was talking about, or maybe the Bucks were just going to get this done regardless, because Baker really likes it here. The Bucks obviously really like Baker. He's a fan favorite. It was really a win-win for all parties involved. Mr. Vasallo, what are your thoughts on the Baker extension? Are you excited, kind of nervous that maybe it goes sideways, but you know, who cares? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Quarterback contracts are so funny.
They're so weird. They're
it's
so
silly
weird.
To think back. I literally, as we're having this conversation, I pulled up the spot track for the Bucks back in 2020. They signed Tom Brady for 2 years, $50 million.
Right. Yeah. My, how things have changed.
So much in so little time.
Yep.
I think that ultimately if as long as Baker looks anything like 2024, this will be a good deal for the Bucks.
Yeah.
If he looks even slightly less than that, you really can't justify paying $55 million a year to a guy who is not top 10 in the league. And he certainly was not top 10 last year. But in 2024, you could have argued he was, I don't know, the third or fourth best quarterback statistically.
Yeah.
He has, since he joined the Bucks, he has like the second most passing touchdowns and the third most passing yards. By the counting stats, he's one of the best right now. But, you know, if you got to pay the guy, you got to pay the guy because there's nobody behind door number two.
Right.
Relying on like Garrett Nussmeier falling to you in the second round next year.
Oh, Garrett Nussmeier's already in the league. Yeah, he's already in Kansas City.
Guess I don't even know.
and that's the other thing you look at is everyone talks about, yeah, you had a down year. Like, it was down, but also the entire team was down. And it wasn't because of Baker. Like, we had more injuries, I think, than any team in the league last year. Let me rephrase that, to starting players.
Right.
So you expect that to be the case on any team for any quarterback, and you look at the guys that he's next to, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow. Like, yes, Joe Burrow is a great quarterback when he's healthy. How many playoff games has Joe Burrow won?
A lot. He made it to a Super Bowl.
Can't be more than six or seven.
Exactly. He's been good in one playoff series, one playoff run. Trevor Lawrence.
Nothing so far.
All these quarterbacks that are making the same amount of money as him, he didn't get Josh Allen money. He didn't get Patrick Mahomes money. Like, the quarterbacks that he's in the same range as, that he's making per year, like, he's right on par with them.
It's true.
I'm not saying he's Joe Burrow, but he's healthier than Joe Burrow. And I'll be honest with you, I'd rather take a quarterback that can play 17 games as opposed to a quarterback that we get for four.
Best ability is availability.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's hard. Those conversations are always so difficult because it's hard to separate the situation from the guy. Like, if you swap places with any quarterback in the NFL, like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, like, these are all guys that are, you know, subject to these kind of, like, well, if they were on this team, would they be as good? And who the heck knows? Like, these are all hypothetical situations. We can only deal with what's in front of us. But regardless, yeah, I'm with you, Zach. I do think that at his best, Baker is at least on par with most of the guys that he's getting paid the same as. Like Tyler said, you know, at the end of the season, even it was about as a bad year for everyone. It was a bad year for the Bucks in general to end the season. But on the flip side of that, at the beginning of the season, he looked like an MVP candidate. So, you know, the Bucks gambling on the upside of 2024 and like the first, I don't remember, six games of, yeah, the first few games, like the first quarter to like a third of the season last year, them gambling on that upside, I take that gamble because
you've had the better version of Baker every year he's been here. He's had one down year out of the, 3 years he's been here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, and Zach, you're gonna puke, so please bear with me here. He kind of has the Todd Bowles-esque argument where, like, hey, they've made the playoffs most of the time that Baker's been here, and I know. Relax.
Playoff success. I'm talking about statistical success. Like,
sure. I feel you, but that's also, you know, team success is part of the formula here for quarterbacks, because quarterback wins are apparently a thing. I don't necessarily agree, but you get what I'm saying though. Like, the Bucks have mostly been pretty good with Baker Mayfield as their quarterback. So the fact that they're paying him $55 million a year, it's not super far fetched. Like, obviously in an ideal world, everyone is paid exactly what they're worth and blah, blah, blah. But you have to take some risks because you don't know how a guy's going to progress, and vice versa. Baker Mayfield could go out and have a career year where if he'd have just stayed put and just not signed this extension, he could be getting $60-70 million next season. So, you know, there's risk on both sides. You know, this could age poorly for both sides, depending on how things go. So, yeah, like I said, I thought it was a pretty fair deal. It was pretty down the middle. Both sides are probably a little like, well, we got it done or whatever. You know, they're probably a little disgruntled, but that means it's probably fair. So, you know, I'll be curious to see how he plays this year, if there's an immediate sticker shock with like, oh, dang, like the Bucks missed the playoffs this year and they just gave him this extension, or vice versa. The Bucks win 11, 12 games this year and they're like, man, we got away with one here. Like they really should have paid him more. But either way, I'm excited they got it done. It's more stability. And speaking of trying to come up with record predictions, I figured that would be as good a transition as any to talking about the Bucks of the Bucks season at writ large, because it's week one. You know, it's finally here. The games count now. It's not preseason. We're not having to sit here and talk about how good Jalen Daniels is, even though that was fun. We're talking about some real football now. And we'll start with the season preview before we get to the Bengals preview, speaking of Joe Burrow. I wanted to get y'all's thoughts, a record prediction. Do they make the playoffs or they win the division? And if so, how far do they advance in the playoffs? I figured we'd just get all three, knock them all out. Mr. Vasala, what are your thoughts on the Bucks' chances this season?
I'm looking at the schedule. I've got it right here in front of me. It's not that crazy.
It's really not. It's a
difficult schedule.
No.
And, you know, part of that is benefiting from playing in the NFC South. And so that's of six course. Of your games.
For sure.
Obviously, those are going to look easy. Obviously,
right.
We're going to lose maybe two of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because that's how it ends up working out.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got Cleveland. You've got a fairly weak Pittsburgh, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Chicago's probably a playoff team. Green Bay's probably a playoff team. But you get Minnesota as well.
Minnesota's pretty bad.
You got Kyler Murray to play.
You know, other than
the Rams and maybe Chicago, I think, you know, they're playing a bunch of either really bad teams or teams that are maybe going to squeak into a wild card spot.
Yeah. There are very few games on here that I thought of as being just automatic losses. And it's the Rams game. The Ravens are probably up there.
Yes.
Yeah, Kansas City might be. I don't know. They're kind of who knows.
I'm not seeing Kansas City on here.
No, Kansas City's not on there.
Oh, I'm stupid. I might have been looking at a different version of this.
Could be the Chargers you're thinking of.
I might be thinking of the Chargers, but the Chargers are, you know, they're hit or miss. Like who knows? Too. Yeah, they're a good team, but are they good enough? Like I don't know. I think of the Chargers and the Bucks as being on relatively similar ground. So I'm gonna go. I think they win 10 games this year. I think that's a reasonable thing. I think they could win as many as 12. If Reuben Bain is, I'm going to die on this hill. Reuben Bain, if he is competing for a defensive rookie of the year, I think they win 11 or 12 games and they coast the division and they might win a playoff game or two. I think they really surprise some people if he turns out to be as good as people say he is. Cause man, having a dominant edge rusher is something the Bucks have not had for such a long time. And if they do, that makes the defense go from like a below average to bad group to like an average group to maybe even above average. Just because like the secondary is bad for sure. But if you have a good pass rush, they got Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean paid. They could make Zion McCollum's contract actually look feasible. You know, that's a possible thing.
I knew
that would get a rise out of Mr. Blaine.
Your role, buddy.
I do think that, 10 wins is probably where I'm going to stand at for the Bucks. That's probably like the median. There's a very real possibility where they only win 6 games, you know, where everything goes to crap. But I think 10 wins is probably where I'm settling at. Zach, how about you, my friend? What do you got?
So I kind of disagree with you in terms of I only have one, like I'm chalking this up to a guaranteed loss. And that's
really like, okay. Yeah. So you're not on the Ravens.
No, I don't think it's not going to be an easy game, and I'm counting it as a loss, but it wasn't one that I went, we're out of that game. Like the Rams, that team is out of this world. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Like,
here's the thing with the Rams, I'm curious to see what they look like at that point of the season because
they're an older team. Yeah. So I'm obviously like judging it based off
of course, right 100%.
Now, they're a super team. You. They are the 2012 Miami Heat. Like, they look ridiculous, you know?
They do.
But that's the only game where I was like, that's a loss. Everything else, I'm like, I see a way that we could win that, but I also see how we could lose that. So I'm going a little bit higher than you. I think we're an 11 or 12 win team this year.
Wow. Okay.
And that's I'm claiming 11 right now. But if we go 11 or 12 wins, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. Okay. So I have that winning the division, like regardless of whether it's 10 to 12 wins.
Yeah. Wins. So we're winning the division. I'm with you on that. I don't think it's even going to be a close division race this year.
I honestly, the only team, and Jordan Tyson going on the injured reserve list, or injured reserve, baseball is creeping in there, but Jordan Tyson being injured, going on IR was a tough blow for the Saints, because with him, then they had a very formidable pass-catching group, and their offense was going to be really interesting, depending on how Tyler plays at quarterback. Not you, Tyler, but the other Tyler. Who's
I'm ready. Put me in, coach.
I'm just giving up on pronouncing Tyler S. Yeah, shuck, sure. Shuck and oyster. There you go. Yeah, that's how I'll try to remember it. I love oysters. But that him going down was a big loss for them, and it dealt some confidence blows for me for the Saints, where originally I was like, oh, man, they could kind of compete a little bit for the NFC South. But, yeah, without Tyson, it's going to be tough, because the offense is no longer going to be just dynamite like I thought they were going to be. And even that was assuming that, you know, Tyler was going to take that step forward and Jordan Tyson was going to be good even if he was healthy. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm still like 10 wins, but 11 and 12, definitely feasible, definitely very realistic. But, Tyler, I don't think we got a solidified number out of you. What's your win total prediction?
I think 12 is probably the ceiling.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Them getting much higher than that. Last season, I believe I had them down as 14 wins. I do not remember that. And I was feeling very vindicated 6 weeks into the season.
Right.
Especially looking at the second half when they were going to play like the Saints twice. They're going to play the Dolphins. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a genius. And then everything just fell apart.
Yeah.
In my hands. Apart. I had it. I had the world in my palm.
Yes, yes.
This year, I think 12 is the ceiling. I think 8 is probably the floor.
Yeah.
You know, as long as, you know, we don't get real nuts, like, God forbid something terrible happens to somebody on this team. But, you know, I think that Bowles is a mediocre enough head coach to get them to 8 wins. And I think he is not a good enough head coach to get us past 12.
Yeah, I agree. Even if Bane is as good as advertised, it's tough though, because like that Super Bowl year when they had Shaq Barrett and JPP, the defense was actually like not bad. Like it was like, oh hey, like this is a group that could kind of do some stuff. So if they're able to, because I view Yaya Diaby as a very solid second pass rusher, like he's a very solid second best pass rusher. So if Reuben Bane is a good to great pass rusher, then man, that really just unlocks things for this defense. And maybe Todd Bowles turns from being like the butt of most jokes to like, hey, you know, he's coaching some good players.
It was a personnel problem, which it still could be, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's both.
The thing about that Super Bowl team is that like Shaq Barrett didn't have that great of a season.
Right.
I mean, he got the 10 sacks that year.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And I think Devin White led the team in sacks with like 9, which is insane.
Right. Yeah.
Like those two guys weren't that great that season. Obviously Barrett had what 18.5, 19.5 the season before.
Right.
Had like a world beating career. I mean, world beating season. Those guys were kind of at the end of their careers that Super Bowl year. JPP played another 2 seasons, snuck around on the practice squad for a couple more years.
Yeah.
Barrett was pretty much out of the league after that. Obviously there were some off the field things with him. Unfortunately, but you know, they weren't that great after that season. And would it be crazy to say that Bane and Diaby could be a better duo this season than Barrett and Pierre-Paul were in the Super Bowl season?
I don't know that it's crazy to say, but it's without seeing it, it's
It is a bold proclamation, but it could happen. Yeah, I think it could too.
I think Diaby is better than JPP. When he was with Tampa,
the Giants. JPP was
JPP was a stud. Diaby is better than Tampa JPP, but is Diaby or not Diaby?
Is Bane better than Shaq Barrett? I don't know. That is a tough one.
I think he will be, but rookie year is that. That's the only drawback for me is that it is his rookie year.
Absolutely.
It is fair. You also keep around Vita Vea, who I think is, you know, roughly as good as he was in the Super Bowl season. I think Kalijah Kansi, if he can stay healthy, is somewhat comparable to Ndamukong Suh on that Super Bowl team as well.
Not in terms of play style, but in terms of impact, for sure.
In terms of impact, right. Yeah. I do think that this defensive line is going to end up being one of the better in the league this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think if everyone stays healthy and if Bain is as good as he could be, then yeah, I'm in full agreement. I definitely think they could be not quite at that Rams tier. You know, we'll slow our roll here. We're not gonna,
honestly.
Yeah, we're not gonna be weird. But no, they could be very good. They could be very good. And yeah, like we're saying, the schedule plays out favorably for them, favorably enough to where if they're at least a decent team, then yeah, this isn't the type of schedule that they are going to just have a heck of a time with. I genuinely, yeah, like we're saying, we think we can see the Bucks do pretty well this year. So we'll see how it plays out. But who do y'all think finishes second in the NFC South? I kind of taking a look around the division. I've got the Saints second in my rankings, if you will. But them and the Panthers, I kind of go back and forth on, because the Panthers obviously won it last year. And yeah, I still don't really understand how they won it last year. I mean, I guess it was just because everyone else was so bad. But Zach, who do you have coming in second in the South this year?
I got Carolina.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
I think I'm with you. It's a toss up between Carolina and New Orleans, and the Falcons are gonna be one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, it's tough, man, because the Falcons have, like, some really good players, like Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson are all individually very good players. Terrell in the cornerback room, Jesse Bates as a safety. But, man, if you've got Tua, like, what are we doing? You know, like, what are we doing here? You know, and it's
why even bother playing the games, man? We already right? know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's brutal. Yeah. It's brutal. Like, the unfortunate reality is, like, Tua's going to go out there and be pretty bad. And at best, the team stays healthy enough to where when Michael Penix comes back, they can at least see what they have in him. But at worst, Tua plays poorly and the team gets a little banged up. And then when Penix comes back, like, you still really don't know what you have in him, because you just can't judge him, because, you know, obviously, God forbid, but maybe one of the playmakers gets hurt or something. I don't know. It's going to be a really brutal season for Atlanta, which is it's a shame, because, like I said, they've got some really fun individual players, but just yeah, that defensive line is bad, and the offensive line's kind of, I don't know. So,
yeah,
that, I don't know.
That defense is especially questionable when you have James Pierce is out for 8 games, is it?
Yeah, I don't remember what the exact number is, but yeah.
And you've got the other rookie outside linebacker who I believe tore something in his knee this offseason.
Jalen Walker out of Georgia.
Yeah, I believe he blew out his knee in offseason workouts. Yeah, it's real ugly over there. I mean,
yeah.
even after – you know, if Michael Penix does come back, he didn't impress me last season. He really just did not. And, you know, it's hard to watch for Penix, because this is what, ACL number 3, as well as a shoulder surgery on each shoulder in college.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work out, I don't think.
It's hard to say, because, man, he's a really cool story, like coming all the way back from those ACL injuries. And he's a Tampa guy. Like,
fantastic arm talent too, man.
Yes.
He's slinging it in college.
Yeah. And he's from Dade City. Like, he has a road named after him there. Like, that's so cool. Like, I went to a wedding that was on Michael Penix Jr. Tribe. It was like, hey, look at that. But man, it's hard. It's tough. Like, it's hard to come back from all of those injuries. And you're on the Atlanta Falcons. Like, you know, like, yeah. he's not in a good situation. Yeah, it really does suck. But finishing second, Tyler?
I you know, the Panthers and the Saints are both pretty intriguing to me. I think that there's a closer race between second place for the division than there is between first and second. I think if we stay healthy and all things, you know, even if everything doesn't go right, I think we should still pretty much boat race the division. Like, we have the best roster, and we have the best roster out of the four teams by a lot. It's a coaching question, which, you know, I feel like I've been really harping on that the last couple weeks.
Yeah, but, hey, it's the truth. It's the truth.
I'm intrigued by the Panthers, man. There's something about Bryce Young that just like, I just want him to succeed. Maybe it's because he's so short.
Yeah, and it's hard to quit him. It's hard to quit him.
I just can't give up on him. The guy has definitely like shown some flashes. Definitely not enough for me to be.
Yeah.
You know, infatuated with him the way I am. But you know, they've got an interesting receiving core with
T-Mac,
McMillan and Coker and all these fun little names.
Brazil back.
Yeah, well, I think Brazil is out.
Yeah, he's out for the season. Yeah,
but you know, he was a fun prospect to me. He had, you know, the size and the speed. Anyway, like the running backs could be interesting with Jonathan Brooks. Maybe we'll see what he has in the tank.
Yeah, I was gonna say it has not looked good.
the defensive line is questionable. Offensive line is pretty questionable to me. The defensive backs are really fun on that team as well.
Yeah, J.C. Horn is really good.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's filthy.
With the Saints, you know, the running, obviously they've got Travis Achane now. And they've got Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson. Like, the skill position is fun even without Jordan Tyson or Alvin Kamara potentially.
And they've got two really good tackles on the left and right
they
side.
They do. Like they have their anchor points on the offensive line.
Yeah. But
Tyler Shuck.
That's what
we'll see. We'll see what year two looks like when everybody has the film on you.
Yeah. And the defense is tough too. Defense, yeah.
It's going to be tough to overcome for them. I don't think they're a 28 point per game offense, which
And that's what they're going to have to be.
And I do think they are a 28 point per game defense. So. Yes.
Yeah. It's not quite the Drew Brees era Saints defenses where like they gave up like 35 points a game or whatever, like the historically bad ones. Yeah. And he was like putting up like a 5,000 yard season, but it was like, it didn't matter. And they just ended up going like 8-8 or 7-9 every year. Those are brutal. Those are brutal times for sure.
Fun to watch for us.
Yes. Oh yeah. 100%. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be a fun race to second place in the division. Hopefully, hopefully hoping the Bucs stay healthy and whatnot. Cause last year the injury bug did bite them, but it'll be a fun season and we'll see how it goes. But if you're looking at your wardrobe and you're thinking, man, the season's about to start, and I really need to upgrade my Bucs gear, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We'll give you a promo code. That's Canon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type that bad boy in, get 10% off your entire order to celebrate the start of the NFL season. We'd greatly appreciate it. All right, so to kind of round out our little season preview segment, I wanted to have our award predictions, team awards, Bucs-specific awards, starting with just MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year. We'll hit those three. This is Mr. Blaine. Who do you got MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year?
MVP Baker.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows MVP is a quarterback award.
Obviously. Yeah. They should probably rename that at some point.
Offensive Player of the Year. I'm stuck between Bucky and probably Chris Godwin.
We're skipping over Ibuka? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, bro,
okay.
Dropped 98 passes last year. I'm not high on him.
All right.
I'm exaggerating a little bit. It wasn't 98, I know. But I'm going to go Bucky.
Okay.
Player of the Year.
Fair enough.
Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, it's either Bane. Or I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Benjamin Morrison's going to surprise a lot of people. I know. If he stays
healthy. I just got like a cramp in my forehead from
my eyebrows. Me too, man.
I know. Look, I'm giving it to Bane, but mark this down as one of Zach's wild things that could come true because it seems to happen every now and then. Could be very, very good this year.
Taking a big swing on Benjamin Morrison. Yeah, he's one of those fellas that could either do that and be a really good cornerback, or he might be out of the league by the end of this year.
Oh, like, 100%. That's
super.
There's I don't feel like there's a middle ground with him.
Right, yeah. He's super wide chasm, yeah.
Pro Bowl level player or
– he's cooked.
Like
yeah,
he's a guy in Devin Culp type of deal. Like that's going to happen.
Too soon.
Dude, I was high on Devin Culp. I didn't think we should have cut him, but here we are.
Man, I was playing the Sarah McLachlan song and everything. Man, it was a hard day.
It was a hard day.
It blows my mind that he didn't get a fair. Like it felt like he never got a shot.
Yeah,
he caught what, three passes in his entire NFL career and like two.
There was that one game that he had like a pretty fun little cameo where he like actually kind of showed some stuff. Yeah,
and then Sam was like, no.
Yeah, Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard when a guy, I mean, Tyler, we've talked about it, like when a guy that's that size is a tight end, like if you're not, you know, Jimmy Graham or, you know, a god as a receiver,
you have to either be the best receiver in the league or you have to be a dang good blocker to stick on a roster.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
Neither.
Yeah, it's tough, but it would be fun to see him make it on another squad. But wow. Okay. Sorry. Big happenings. And wow, they got the first down. Sorry. I'm a little ahead of y'all, but
Drew Lock is slinging it, dude.
Drew Lock
absolutely is a good quarterback, guys. I'm telling you.
Yeah, absolute bullet. Yeah. So I don't know. I think the Benjamin Morrison thing is crazy, but it could be really fun. I hope it happens. Cause man, if Benjamin Morrison has a good year, then they might win like 13 or 14 games. If Benjamin Morrison has a good year, that would be crazy. But offensive player of the year, Bucky, very reasonable, could absolutely happen. I'm going to go with Igbuka though. Cause I think that like last year before he sort of got a little banged up and before Baker got banged up and before all the injuries, Igbuka got off to that torrid start where like, he was a big reason why the Bucs were playing as well as they were. Like Baker was playing at an MVP level and Igbuka was playing as an offensive rookie of the year level. So I do think that if he manages to stay a little healthier, if the offense is a little bit more cohesive, Zach Robinson being in the fold hopefully helps things. I do think Igbuka is going to be given the opportunity. They spent a first round pick on him and he did have a bunch of drops last year. His separation was a little bit concerning, but I think he could be good this year. I still believe in him. And him and Baker seemed to have a really good connection last year at the beginning of the season. So he's going to be my offense player of the year. Baker, MVP, it's kind of an easy one, so I'll go with that too. Defensive player of the year, the contrarian weirdo in me wants to say Trotter has a crazy season, but I'm gonna set that aside and just say Alex Anzalone. I think, you know, he's gonna be really good.
I forgot to even mention him. I think he's gonna be up there as well.
Yeah, I think Alex Anzalone is gonna be a big difference maker on this team because I think he'll ease the pressure of Trotter, where both of them will be so complementary to each other in both of their roles that they kind of elevate each other's play because they just have such differing strengths that I think that the linebacker room suddenly goes from being a major weak point last season to like not a strength of the team, but at least something that they can count on. So I'm going to go with Anzalone just for defensive player of the year because Bane will probably win it because I think Bane's going to be really good, but I'll stick with Alex Anzalone just because it's fun. Tyler, how about you? Who's your,
one second.
Go for it.
It's Igbuka, right? Do you think that his fall off, because we'll be honest, it was a fall off. Like
he He got off to the rapid start.
Yeah. His fall off, do you think that that could have very well been because he became wide receiver one? Like with all due respect to him, he's a good player, but he was never wide receiver one at Ohio State.
Yeah.
He always had a better receiver ahead of him. And then he gets into the league, and Mike Evans is healthy. Chris Godwin looks good for the first couple games. And then they get hurt, and Igbuka is wide receiver one, and now he's getting teamed up on their best quarterback and drastically fell off.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that plays a little bit, but I think mostly the injuries played a bigger role, as well as Baker being a little banged up and the offensive line being atrocious. Like, there's just – obviously he did not play well, like no excuse, like not, I know I'm making excuses while saying no excuse, but it's more of just an explanation as to why I think he can bounce back this season. But I also really believe that Baker can play better. And because Baker can play better, Igbuka is going to be one of his top targets. And so I think that it's going to be he's going to be a beneficiary of that. I don't know. I think Bucky could win it easily too. Like that, you know, it's not me saying, oh, Emeka's going to be way better. No, not at all. Like it's very much could go either way, but
yeah, that was just more of a, I don't even think he's going to be our best receiver on this team.
Really? Wow. Okay. Think Godwin's going to be,
well, McMillan, I think, has the legitimate possibility to be better than Igbuka this year.
Wow. Okay. I'll be honest. I'll be very surprised if that ends up happening, but McMillan's really good. He is fun.
McMillan without the neck injury is starting over Emeka last season.
Wow. Yeah, I get. I don't know. It's a tough one, because even setting aside the neck injury, he's had other injury concerns like to start his career. So that's where I hesitate a little bit. But then again, Egbuka had injury concerns last year too. So I don't know. We'll see. The good news is though, if Emeka Egbuka is good this year, that probably means that Baker Mayfield is very good. So you know, I think it's you know it'll be all good either way. So. Definitely an interesting conversation to be had about Egbuka, because I know he has his detractors, but he also has his fans. Like, you know, there are some people that think he'll be really good, and maybe he'll be in the middle. Maybe he'll crack 1,000 yards, but it won't be a spectacular season or anything like that. It'll just be a solid, hey, this guy was a first round pick and he's playing with a pretty good quarterback type of season, which
I think his career path is going to look a lot like Godwin's.
Okay.
I don't think that's crazy to say. I think that's
no.
Yeah, like he's never gonna be the best receiver in the league, but like he'll always be someone we talk about. Like, oh, he could have a big game if that makes
sense. Yeah. Like, and I think the thing is, if we went back and redrafted the year that Chris Godwin got drafted in 2017, he was a third round pick, I believe, out of Penn State. He probably goes first round in a redraft. You know what I mean? So like,
I mean, depending on what the draft looks like, I guess so. But like, I don't think that Godwin has had a first round draft pick career.
I don't know if you're still around almost a decade later and you've had, if you've had a couple of 1,000 yard receiving seasons, you're probably a first round pick in whatever draft class you're in. But I feel you, there have been injuries and whatnot and all that stuff. But he also like was part of a Super Bowl winning team. I think he's pretty relatively comfortably a first round pick.
He had a legitimate shot at an offensive player of the year before he went down in 2024. Yeah, he had like 500 yards in the first four games.
Before that Ravens game, man, that was such a deflating thing to witness. Yeah, he absolutely – him and Baker were cooking. Like, he was – like, Baker was absolutely balling, and he was just feeding Chris Godwin. Like, just literally, yep. Chris Godwin, and rightfully so. Like, they were both on the same page. It was a really cool thing to see. And unfortunately, he hasn't quite been up to that level since then. But I don't know. We'll see how Chris Godwin does, because he could maybe win Offensive Player of the Year for the Bucs. You know, maybe so. We'll just have to wait and see. But Mr. Fasala, who are your award winners on this one?
So going back to the Egbuka thing real quick, I guess I will, you know, I'm probably going to have to talk about him a little bit more later. But, you know,
yeah,
I think it's partially a result of him having to be wide receiver one. It's not that he wasn't good enough to be a wide receiver one in college. He had 1,200 yards receiving as a senior.
Right. He put up some.
It's not really his fault that Jeremiah Smith is probably the best wide receiver prospect we've seen since, I don't know, Julio Jones.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. was thought of as the best wide receiver prospect we'd seen.
That's true. And he played with Emeka Egbuka right before Jeremiah Smith.
And so, there wasn't the other one, Garrett Wilson, though.
There was also Garrett Wilson. They all overlapped. Chris Olave, I believe, was
maybe
all right. May have been Chris Olave, not Garrett Wilson.
It's one of the two though.
Yeah.
Regardless, insane wide receiver rooms that he was playing in.
But outside of
Marvin Harrison Jr., I think that they're both the other two are better NFL wide receivers.
Yeah, sure. But they've also been in. They've also stuck in the league for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
But no, I also think it's a question of role. He's not an X receiver. He'll never. I don't think he'll ever be a guy where he plays more than 50% of his snaps starting, you know, out at the boundary. I think he'll be primarily a slot receiver, which is, you know, no burn on him. Larry Fitz made a Hall of Fame career out of being a slot receiver.
Yeah.
I think that it's also not just that he was wide receiver one for the first time ever. His wide receiver two was Tez Johnson.
Yeah, like, that's a good point.
He was really the only option. He was double teamed probably an absurd amount of of the time.
Like, hate on Tez Johnson, but it just, you know.
I mean, you know, Tez Johnson and Cam Johnson are wide receiver two and three. Like,
right. Not the
whole
great.
Offense is probably going to stink.
Yeah, not great.
No, I think that he probably bounces back. I think the drops were a symptom of that. Obviously, those were really ugly for quite a while there.
Yeah.
He definitely won't benefit from having Chris Godwin and Mike Evans on the same roster. I think Chris Godwin helps alleviate some of that. I think Jalen McMillan also being healthy will alleviate some of that. I think that he's more slot receiver sized. He's fairly diminutive, Jalen McMillan, but I think he probably is one of their outside receivers. And I think Chris Godwin and Emeka Egbuka kind of, you know, trade off in that role.
Yeah. And I do think with the amount of motion that they're probably going to run with all the creative formations they run, there's almost not that X wide receivers are a dying breed or anything like that. That's not my point. But I do think that the motion aspect of the offense with Zach Robinson's scheme and everything, I think that alleviates some of the concerns for me with like, oh, do they have like a big bodied Mike Evans type of receiver? Like, no, not necessarily, but you know, not every team has to work that way. You know, like the 49ers offense was really, really good for the past few years. And they've had, you know, Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, neither of whom are super large human beings or anything like that. But obviously we're comparing apples and oranges here. But my ultimate point is that you don't necessarily require a big body wide receiver to be successful, but it's always nice to have. And Mike Evans is also one of the all-time.
And unfortunately, you know, when you off-season install, you build the whole offense out of Mike Evans, and then Mike Evans goes missing for half of a season.
Yeah, yeah, it's
brutal. You kind of have to ask a Buka to play Mike Evans, and
yeah, and it's hard. Yeah, this off-season they know what they have, I'll be curious. So your offensive player of the year is
Emeka Buka.
It's Buka. Okay,
I do think that he has a really good season this year. If he just, you know, gets back to the average for Emeka Buka. Like, you know, splitting the difference between first half and second half, I think that ultimately is what, a 1,300-yard receiver in the NFL?
Yeah, not bad.
Something
not
absurd bad. Like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, he had like 900 yards through 8 games. So
Right. So it was a massive fall off towards the end of the season.
Right, and it really was, because he barely scraped by with what, like 1,100 yards or something?
Yeah, it was not good.
1,000.
He didn't break 1,000.
No,
yeah, even brutal stuff. Yeah, brutal stuff. But yeah, no, I do think that there's a bit of a middle ground here. As Claire Brantley, my dear sweet mother, pointed out, the regression to the mean, as she said. We'll see if she's right. That's right. There's the comment.
There it is.
Yeah. See, she's supporting. Shout out to mom. How about defensive player of the year? Who do you got? Are you going Bane? Are you going super wild card and picking?
I want to say defensive rookie of the year for Bane, because I think he actually has a shot at it in real life.
Yeah, like NFL defensive rookie of the year. Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it's hard not to give it. It's either him or Trotter. I mean, there's not really anybody, unless Keontae Scott somehow pulls out like 9 interceptions from nowhere.
Right. Right.
No, I think I'll give this one to Bane. I think 10 sacks is probably as far as we get, but for a rookie, like,
that's really good.
Not as good as you get.
Yeah, that's really darn good. Yeah. I think the expectation of him being Aiden Hutchinson or something out right out of the gate is probably maybe a little unrealistic. Right.
I think it's fairly obvious at this point that, you know, the draft process overthought on Reuben Bane, but
yeah, the arm length and whatnot.
I don't think the pendulum swings all the way in the other direction where he's like a top 5 pass rusher this season. That's
not
anywhere near realistic.
For sure.
No, and obviously, you know, MVP is Baker Mayfield, blah, 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 blah. MVP is a quarterback award, you know.
Yeah.
In all honesty, it's probably Tristan Wirfs. He's the best.
Right, yeah. Right. But Tristan is definitely really the best player on the team. Right, yeah. No, I'm with you.
And in this case, you know, Baker is the most valuable player on the team because he makes the most money now. So,
yeah.
It all evens out in the end.
Yeah, it's all
good. In that case, defensive rookie of the year would then be Jeremiah Trotter. Or not Jeremiah, Josiah Trotter.
Yeah. Jeremiah's his dad.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I think he could be a lot of fun. The Barber Show, the Rondé Barber Show, has certainly hyped him up quite a bit recently.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say how accurate that is, because they also spent all of last offseason
hyping up Servasi Abrams.
Certain other middle linebacker.
Who shall remain nameless, even though I just
yeah. Yeah. I think that the awards are fairly straightforward for the Bucs.
Yeah. I think offensive rookie of the year might be pretty interesting because
they didn't really draft a whole lot.
And no, because you can't really. If Ted Hurst is winning, that probably means that someone got hurt and that the season went
something
awry.
Something's gone terribly, terribly wrong.
Exactly. Yes.
Honestly, so, you don't want any of the three of them to be. Maybe you do want Bauer Sharp this year to be good, but like, you know, you don't really want Billy Shrouth's name to get called a whole lot.
Yeah. If he's getting a lot of starts, then that means, yeah, it's not good. But yeah, I'm with you on defensive rookie of the year. If it's not Bane, then you can give it to Trotter. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, offensive, I'm kind of lost. Zach, do you have any submissions for offensive rookie of the year?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Outside of that Hurst, we didn't really draft anyone. Yeah. So,
right.
Like,
I mean, yeah.
If I had to pick one, I'm going to go Ted Hurst. I think he fits that outside receiver build a lot better than anyone else we have on the team. So
for sure.
I don't think it would necessarily – look, I've already – everyone on this show knows that I'm not high on Ted Hurst. But I would not be shocked, even without any injuries, if he gets significant playing time this year. Because like Tyler said, you know, I think Emeka's perfect spot, as bad as it sounds, is Chris Godwin's spot. Like – Chris Godwin and Emeka are the same player to me. So I would almost see them playing those two inside a lot and having Ted Hurst outside more than I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't think that we're going to see too much of Emeka and Godwin on the field together all the time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because Godwin's kind of, you know, potentially still like – on a snap count, so to speak, like with his age. But then you have an elite slot receiver at like high energy level all the time. So that's not necessarily a bad thing in the NFL nowadays because slot receivers are prominent parts of the offense.
That's not a dig on Emeka by any means. I mean, Chris Godwin is one of the best slot receivers in the game.
Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely.
We saw when he had to go outside the year before he got, or it may have been the year he was hurt. He is not an outside receiver. Like, it's just that is two different types of receivers. And Godwin's numbers dropped significantly when he went outside. And I think that that's how it is for Emeka. He is an inside guy who kind of thrives on playing in coverage against like linebackers or the safety. Yeah. Like, I think that that fits his skill set better. So I do think that we're doing him a disservice by having him and Godwin both play on the field at the same time.
Yeah, we'll see how they organize that. I know Zach Robinson has some tricks up his sleeve from his Sean McVay days, but you know, last time the Bucs hired an offensive coordinator off the Sean McVay tree, it went pretty well. So hopefully it's a similar thing here. But regardless, we'll be tracking this throughout the season. But before we end the episode, we do have to talk about the game that's actually happening on Sunday because they're playing the Bengals. What are y'all looking for in week one? Week ones are always so weird to me because now that they only play three preseason games, it's kind of almost like a fourth preseason game that counts because you're still figuring stuff out. Like, the starters sometimes haven't really even played very much together. So what do y'all expect from the Bucs week one? And give me a record, a score prediction too, because, you know, why not? Zach, what do you got for this game and who do you think wins and by how much?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting because Tampa is one of those teams that we didn't see very many of the starters this season.
Right.
Or that's, this preseason. Yeah. Sure. I don't even know. I know the last game, I think Baker had like one drive, maybe two. So it's going to be a sloppy game, I think, which is to be expected. We're playing a team that I don't think is a very good team. Cincinnati has a Lamborghini of a quarterback, but a trailer of a house in the rest of their team. I don't like Cincinnati. I don't think they're a great team. So I think we're going to win, and I think it's going to be a decent win. My stepson is actually a Bengals fan, so I get to talk trash to him and his dad weekend. I'm going Tampa to win, let's say 28-21.
28-21. All right. I dig it. The Bengals have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and then Dexter Lawrence. You know, like, yeah, their talent is very top heavy and it is very much on the offensive side of the ball. So fantasy players, Bucks players might want to start them. Because, man, they added Dexter Lawrence, but they lost Trey Hendrickson. So it's kind of like, you know, what's going on there? I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Zach. It's been very disappointing to see them just not do much in the Joe Burrow era. Because I do think he's a talented quarterback, and their inability to put a good team around him, I think, has very much contributed to his injuries as well as their lack of success.
100% to blame for his injuries.
Yeah, and it's brutal. It's brutal to see.
Tampa, you put him, and I'm not saying I want him over Baker. I'm a Baker fan. I'm a believer.
Sure.
But you put him on a competent roster, and you're talking playoffs every single year.
Like, yeah.
He is absolutely a good quarterback, and I hate to say it because I hate those Ohio teams. But he's a good quarterback. It is just the lack of competency in the front office.
Yeah, and ownership too. Like, they just seem to have such an allergic reaction to investing in anything that's not their own profits. Exactly. So it's disappointing. It's disappointing for sure. So yeah, I'm with you. I do think the Bucks win this. I think they win 24-14. I think that the Bucks defense is going to come out with something to prove, because they've got some new blood out there, and man, they look hungry. Like, they've got an edge to them, and I think they're going to really push around this Bengals offensive line. But obviously the Bengals still have that upside, that you know, that high echelon talent, because Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, man, there aren't.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a Ja'Marr short list.
Going to lead the league in receiving, probably.
Like, right, and it's a short list of combos that are better than Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Like, that's a very dangerous combination. So, you know, they could very easily, the Bucs could lose this game, and whether they win or lose, that shouldn't change your opinion or anyone's opinions of whether it's you listening or me or Zach or Tyler. Our opinion should not change based on one game, especially week one against the Bengals on the road too. Like, they're going up to Cincinnati. Weird stuff happens on the road, especially on week one. But Mr. Vasallo, who do you got winning this game, and any other thoughts on the Bengals?
Yeah, I think this is an evener matchup than I think you guys might think this is. I think the Bengals offense, even with the offensive line questions, like, you know, and Chase Brown is an okay running back.
He's pretty good.
This is a top three duo at wide receiver. Joe Burrow is probably top five at the position still.
Yeah.
It's a fun passing game. I think he is.
He's at least top 10. He's top 10 to top five.
He's in that range. He has to be.
Yeah. Top seven to top five. Yeah.
And, you know, the Bucks DBs have to show me something.
Yeah, Zion McCollum and whoever else is out there.
But the Bengals DB's got to prove it too, and that room is questionable.
Yes,
I've got 100%. This one 31-24. You know, might be the wide margin among what we said, but I think that is going to be a closer game than the scoreboard.
Yeah, you got the Bucks winning?
I do. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we're unanimous, which means the Bucks are going to lose, and it's going to be
definitely going to lose, and we're going to score 3 points. And
yeah,
and
the Bengals will
hurt again, and whoever their backup is going to be the best quarterback to ever play the game.
Yep.
Well, there you go. He'll have his Tom Brady. The backup will have their Tom Brady arc. It'll be an exciting game. And it's exciting to have some football back. I know it's been fun. I'm watching Mike Tomlin do a halftime little thing, which is weird because he's not wearing like a hat.
Did you see that interview that he's a Minecrafter?
I saw that. That was funny. I thought
would not have expected that.
Hey man, he's an interesting fellow. He's got layers. You know, he's an onion. You peel at him, he's got some layers there. I like it, and I'm excited for some football to start. And we'll be back next week, regardless of whether the Bucks win, lose, draw, anything else that could happen. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hit that like and subscribe button on the way out. Give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. We'd really appreciate it. But we'll see y'all next week. And until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.